Good morning. I'm really glad that you're here. I'm excited. If you would open up your Bibles to the book of Luke, we're going to spend some time today talking about one of the closest people that walked with Jesus, closest to Jesus, one of his disciples. We're going to look in Luke chapter 22 is where we're going to be this morning. So we're going to talk about Simon Peter this morning. So Simon Peter had the opportunity to walk with Jesus. He could talk to him. He could give him a hug. Peter had the opportunity to see miracles, signs and wonders. And I think that sometimes, in my mind's eye anyway, I think that the disciples, those people that walked and talked with him, were set up in a best-case scenario to be immune to faltering in their faith. In my mind's eye, that's what I think of. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, they were faithful men. They had, you know, they were right there. They got front row seat to everything Jesus was doing. And yet, we see a different picture when we dig in a little bit deeper. And we find that even the disciples were faced with some of the same struggles that we have. So we're going to begin in Luke chapter 22. Let's see if this works. I don't know. Okay. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. This is right after the Passover, the Lord's Supper, and Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says this: Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not falter, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. So Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith wouldn't fail. But he also said, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus all but told him that not only would he fall away, but he was already giving him instructions on what to do when he came back. And so then if you skip down to verse 55, that should be the next slide, verse 55. Jesus had been arrested and had been taken away, and Peter follows him at a distance and had this moment in verse 55. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. And a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. And about an hour later, should be the next. And about an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is Galilean. And Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered the words the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. So, yeah. Right. Well, he didn't drown, but so there it was. Only 20 verses after Jesus told him he was going to do it, he did it. Peter did exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. So we're going to back up just a little bit in Peter's story, because Peter was one of Jesus' disciples, and there's actually quite a bit of information about Peter that we can find in the Word. He was the first one, along with his brother, that Jesus asked to follow him. He was a fisherman. He was in a family of fishermen. His name was Simon when Jesus called him, and Jesus later changed his name to be known as Peter, which in the Greek means rock. He was quick to speak. There were many times as Jesus was speaking to the disciples that you see Peter speaking out quickly. And I'm sure sometimes he did that without thinking. So much so that Jesus said to him once in Matthew chapter 16, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And that's a pretty strong correction from Jesus. I'm just saying, get behind me, Satan. That's pretty strong correction. He was a bold man. He was very quick to act with passion. When Jesus was arrested, he was the one that grabbed his sword and cut off the ear of the soldier and put it back on the side of, as Jesus, I can imagine that as Jesus picked up that ear and was putting it on the back of or on the side of the guy's head. I'm glad he didn't put it on the back of his head. On the side of his head, that Jesus was thinking, like, calm down, Peter, you know, like, calm down. Yet from the first time they met, Jesus saw something in Peter. He saw his passion and his boldness as something that he wanted on his team. And in Luke chapter 5, he asked Peter to leave everything that he knew by the side of the lake, including the great catch of fish that he had just got, and follow him. And Peter did. And this began a 3-year period of time where the fisherman, Simon Peter, followed Jesus. He spent time with him, he ate with him, he learned from him, and watched Jesus do all kinds of miracles. He healed the sick, the lame, the deaf, the blind. He cast out demons. Jesus put legalistic leaders on edge and put them in their place. And Simon Peter saw all of it, and he walked on water. So what led Peter to this place where the rooster crowed and he had denied Jesus? And not just once, but 3 times. Jesus had even given him a heads up about that. And yet here he was, and the word says he wept bitterly. So let's take a look at Peter's walk with Jesus and see some of those things that may have brought him to that place. It's really easy to look at weaknesses in people's lives and even in our own lives that lead to sin or a separation from God. But sometimes we find that it's even our strengths that lead us there. And let me explain that. Peter was bold and passionate, so much so that his response to Jesus when told that he would deny him was an instant denial. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And in that statement, you hear the passion and the boldness of a man who has aligned his life so closely with Jesus, so intently, that the chance of anything against that was ridiculous to him. But Peter did not know how to put a watch on his strength. His strength was his passion for following his teacher with boldness. But an unguarded strength can get you in trouble, just like a weakness can. So maybe you're somebody who is good with money. Making money is important to you. Saving money is easy for you. Investing money, you just know how to do it. That can be a great thing. You're a good steward with what you have, and you make sure to spend wisely. However, this strength can also turn into a weakness if you allow your focus to be on the money. Getting more, saving more, buying more, investing more. If not kept in check, you could become greedy and not allow God to show you how to be generous. Your focus is on the money directly, not on God's plan for your money, or on God's plan for your strength of being a good steward. Now let's say you're a people person. You love talking to people, encouraging them, and talking to them about their faith in Christ, and you're quick to show up in events to help out, not necessarily because you like the work, but maybe because you love being around people and helping people. What could be the downfall in that? Well, many times, a people person thrives off the energy of other people, and that can easily become people-pleasing. The danger of people-pleasing can be compromise. You welcome compromise because it makes people happy and it makes you happy, but it can turn into compromising things that shouldn't be compromised. Soon your values or your beliefs can be in danger simply to fit in or to make people happy. This is actually something that I know personally. People-pleasing is something that I struggled with in my life because I like it when people like me. I like to make people happy. I like to be an answer for a problem. And I have seen nothing wrong at times with giving up what I like or what I think for someone else's, because isn't that friendship? Isn't that good? There was a scene in a movie called Runaway Bride years ago with Julia Roberts, where she never got married, but she had multiple fiancés, and so that's why it was called Runaway Bride. She'd always run away at the altar. But every time that when they were looking over her life, they were talking with these ex-fiancés, and they said, how does she like her eggs? And one would say she likes her eggs scrambled, and one would say she likes them hard-boiled, just like me. She likes them like this, just like me. She likes this, just like me. And there's a point in the movie at which she tries to figure out what kind of eggs she likes, and it's something completely different than anything that she had been saying that she liked, simply to be a people pleaser. I have seen some of myself in that egg story. I've changed what I eat or what I like for someone else. And there has been times at which I have gone back and go, you know what, actually, I don't like that. Like, the Lord keeps bringing me back to that place where I'm like, well, who are you, really? Because this is what I've found. The Lord has shown me that his desire for my people skills is to connect with people. It's to walk with them, to encourage them, to be with them, not to change into them. Our job is not to change into people. It's to be with people. So strengths not surrendered to God can be used against us and used against others. Because Peter was prideful in his statement, it made him unwilling to accept the possibility that he could fall down. This became a double weakness because he was unprepared when the opportunity came that he needed to stand up and to stand firm. So his confidence actually put him at a disadvantage because it wasn't submitted to God. In fact, the root of that would be pride. I would never do that. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he urged Peter, James, and John to pray, but they fell asleep. And when Jesus returned, he woke them up and he scolded them and told Peter again to pray so that Peter would not give in to temptation. He said, "For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Jesus knew that urgency. He knew that time was coming, but they didn't feel that urgency. So their flesh was confident in their strength, and so they slept. I read this quote by Torrin Wells in a devotion that I did, and it said this: "We should never think that exposure to God equals immunity to sin." Peter walked with Jesus. He even walked on water with Jesus. He was willing to walk out what he believed. He was willing to stretch his faith, which he proved when he stepped out of that boat. And yet he was still not immune to faltering. Paul warned the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. That's the next slide, Jordan. Okay. "So if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." This is not a warning about what we know is a weakness in our lives. It's not a warning to watch out for your weaknesses. It's a warning about the things that we feel good about our strengths. Yeah, I got this. Now I want to just talk briefly about Jesus' response to Peter. As I said earlier, Jesus knew about Peter's boldness when he chose him. And he tells Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." I believe that Jesus knew the mess that Peter was. He knew all of his strengths. He knew all of his weaknesses. And he said to him that he was going to build his church with him, and that the gates of hell would not overcome it. He said that he would give him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Peter was going to deny him, but Jesus was going to give him the keys to heaven. Isn't that just how God is? Isn't that how he is with us? He sees us right where we are. He sees our doubts. He sees our mess that we have. And he wants to use us to build his church here at this time, at this place. Later on, we see after Jesus died and he is risen, Peter runs to the tomb to see if this is true. Man, the feeling that he must have had. He had denied Jesus, and now Jesus is back. And I don't know if I would have run to see. I may have run and hid in shame, but Peter didn't do that. And later on in John chapter 21, I want you to see what Jesus does here. In verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." And there it is. Jesus once again takes Peter back to the beginning and says, "Will you follow me? Follow me. Just do it. Follow me." That's so good. The heading of that section in Scripture in my Bible said this: Jesus reinstates Peter. That's what the heading said. That's so awesome. He asked him three times, "Do you love me?" as if to take care of every time that Peter had denied him. Then once Peter had that chance to choose correctly in humility, Jesus tells him, "Follow me, follow me." We should never think that exposure to God equals immunity to sin. If Peter wasn't immune to sin or to faltering, I don't think that my chances are very good. We need to let God show us ourselves as we are. That in our weakness, he would be our strength. But also, that in our strength, he would be our strength as well. Peter wrote in 2 Peter, a passage that I want to finish with today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 says, "His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature." I just need to stop for just a moment. This is Peter. He denied Jesus. He walked with Jesus. It was very personal to him, what he went through with Jesus. And he's saying these words after that. Love this so much. "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Peter knew that so well. He walked it out. He lived it. He knew what he needed, and he knew that he didn't have it. But then Jesus came and met him, and he reinstated him. Well, maybe you're like Peter today. Maybe you're somewhere between your strengths and your weaknesses. Maybe your strengths have areas of weakness because it's not submitted to God. I just want to give us the opportunity this morning to come to the Lord and submit our weaknesses, yes, but also to submit our strengths to him. Maybe you're in a place where you need God to reinstate you, just like Peter did, where you can have that opportunity to respond to that command that he gave Peter after reinstatement when he said, "Follow me, follow me." Can we do that today? Can we allow ourselves to be humbled by the Almighty God and submit our lives to him, to let him show us where we are, the state of our being, the state of our minds, the state of our hearts? Just like when he was with Peter, he'll be gentle with us. Peter was hurt when he said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" But I can't help but think that later on, Peter looked back and go, he just did that like every single time. Every time that I denied him, he just took care of that. He let me tell him, "I love you. I love you. I love you." And then Jesus would say, "Follow me." Would you stand with me?